Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
In his book, The Furious Longing of God, Brennan Manning shares this urban legend about the professional golfer Arnold Palmer. He writes that years ago, Palmer was invited to play a series of exhibition matches in Saudi Arabia. Now, the king of the country was so impressed with the golfer that he offered to give him a gift. But Palmer declined, not realizing the gift-giving is central to Saudi hospitality. The king was extremely displeased. So Palmer quickly reconsidered. And he said, well, how about a golf club? A golf club would be a nice memento of my visit here. Well, the king was delighted. And the following day, a messenger delivered to Palmer's hotel room the title to a golf club, complete with 36 holes, trees, lakes, and buildings. So the moral of the story is clear. In the presence of the king, there are no small gifts. In our gospel reading today, Jesus shares a parable that provides a vivid illustration of the overwhelming generosity of the King of Kings as he describes the provision that God has made for our salvation. Our Lord begins this parable by saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He begins by saying to us that what he is providing in this story to finite, sinful man is a picture of his heavenly kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to tell them which were bidden, to call them which were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and treated them spitefully, and killed them. As Jesus began to tell this story, the Jews who were present that day would have understood that they were the people who were invited to the wedding and would not come. Because just like a king who prepared a great wedding feast and sent his servants to tell the guests everything's ready, God sent the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, even Christ himself, to call his chosen people to his wedding feast. But they would not come. The people of Israel ignored God's gracious invitation, instead choosing to go their own way, some to their farms, others to their business, and others chose to harm and even kill the servants of God. Jesus reminds the people of Israel of their history, and then he makes a very clear prophecy about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, when he talks about the king sending his armies to destroy those murderers and to burn up their city. From a historical perspective, the beginning of this parable describes the history of Israel. And it foretells the coming destruction of the temple and the devastation of the Jewish church and nation. And in their history, we learn an important lesson. We learn that whoever you are and wherever you are, responding to God and his gracious invitation is not something that we can be careless about. God has extended his invitation to the world, to every man, woman, and child through the cross of Christ. He's manifested his infinite sacrificial love in the most costly, painful way. When you consider the facts, it's easy to see that a proper response to his invitation, a faithful response to God's greatest expression of love, requires our constant attention and complete devotion. Jesus continues this parable by telling us that the king said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. After those who were invited to the wedding so callously and carelessly refused the invitation, the king sent his servants out into the streets with instructions to invite everyone to the marriage. His servants would fill the king's wedding hall with the homeless and the poor, the dirty and the downtrodden, the overlooked and the unworthy. Take just a minute to think of the last homeless person you saw on the street. Really, consider for a minute, how surprised would they be holding that cardboard sign or asking for a couple bucks in change? How surprised would they be if they were invited to a royal wedding? More accurately, how surprised should we be? Because we are those guests. We are guests who did nothing to earn and who do not deserve such overwhelming generosity. Guests who are called and chosen by the King of Kings to join in his wedding feast only because of the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Fact is a great reminder of that timeless line from the sermon hymn, "In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Now, if we were making plans to attend a wedding, there's a good chance that we could find something in our closet suitable for the occasion. But Jesus lived in a society where many people had only the clothes on their back. So it was customary when you were invited to a wedding to be provided with a wedding garment. Now, this clothing that was provided, it was evidence of the wealth and magnificence of the founder of the feast, and it ensured that everyone was dressed in a manner worthy of such a solemn and magnificent occasion. Now, in this particular story, the wedding garments are going to be of the utmost importance, right? Because the king had sent his servants out into the streets to invite everyone. We can be sure that none of these people could have provided themselves with clothing proper for this occasion. Every guest would have relied completely on the king to clothe them. And he did. Every guest was given the gift of a wedding garment. But Jesus tells us that when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The king had so graciously furnished each guest with a wedding garment, the only clothing proper for this occasion. But when he came in, he saw there a man who'd arrogantly refused his gift. This man, like everyone else, heard the invitation to come to the marriage, and he entered the wedding hall. But apparently, he believed what the king had provided was insignificant and unnecessary. This man seems to be the kind of person who lives by his own truth. He has his own subjective idea of what is right or wrong in the presence of the king, and then he self-righteously does things his way instead of the king's way. In this man, we see that as persons made in the image and likeness of God, we are given the freedom to go our own way. For the King of Kings, he rules not with an iron fist, but with love. We know from Scripture that God is love, and we know from experience that love cannot be forced on anyone. God forces no one to accept the gift that he so graciously offers. He forces no one to clothe themselves in the righteousness of Christ, to cover themselves in the precious blood of his only Son, or to sanctify themselves by his grace through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We are free to carelessly go our own way, or to pick and choose what we want to believe from Holy Scripture. But as we heard through language which speaks of being bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness, this parable holds a dire warning for people who think that they can stand before Almighty God relying on themselves, clothed in their own good works. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis commented on this type of thinking when he wrote, "Some people talk as if meeting the gaze of absolute goodness would be fun. They need to think again. They are still only playing with religion. Goodness is either the great safety or the great danger according to how you react to it. And we have reacted the wrong way." A parable is a fictitious story that is meant to communicate divine truth. And as this parable concludes, the divine truth that our Lord intends to communicate becomes perfectly clear. The truth he reveals to those who have ears to hear is that we cannot be careless or negligent in our response to the grace, mercy, and overwhelming generosity of God in the provision that he has made for our salvation. God sent his Old Testament prophets, his servants, God sent his Son to offer his personally and painfully written invitation to the world, declaring, "All things are ready. Come to the marriage. Come to salvation and everlasting life. For the sacrifice of my only Son is not only sufficient for all, it was meant for all. The homeless and the poor, the dirty and the downtrodden, the overlooked and the unworthy." Through this parable, our Lord assures us all are welcome. Everyone is invited. My friends, our Lord and God has done for the world what the world could not do for itself. Now, with his work finished, he said it from the cross, "The work is finished." Our part is simply to respond by his grace to his everlasting love. So, let us redeem the time that he has given us, remembering that in the presence of the King, there are no small gifts. The giver of every good and perfect gift has no intention of giving you a single club. His desire is to give you the entire course. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.